All right. Hey, I was thrilled to sing that song, He Sees Me. You've probably heard this story from St. Pierre over at University City, but we were on a trip to Congo, and we were in Kinshasa, and we were in this Pentecostal church, and it was open from the ceiling. They had tin sides, and you could see over the tin side, and right, the church was built right on the ledge of a slope. And as you could look out over that slope, there was a creek. And down at the bottom, there were some, almost like a village. There were huts. And right in front of one, these ladies were cooking. And they were cooking with a fire pit. And there was a little girl in a wheelchair, sitting there watching these older ladies do the cooking. And, you know, it just was a very lonely, sad-looking scene. They were poor. This girl is crippled. She's in the wheelchair. These other women are working hard, trying to cook the evening meal. And as we were getting ready for the service, it hadn't started yet, just looking out over the valley there, all of a sudden, this little girl in the wheelchair, she starts singing that song. He sees me. And the ladies kept working. And I thought, wow, it's amazing. This little girl, and somebody was telling me, explaining to me what the translation was. I lived in Kenya for 2 years, so I know Kidogo Sana Swahili, just a little bit. But she was singing this song. But when she got to the part where we dance before you, the ladies, all of a sudden, started dancing around that fire pit. And this little girl began to wave her arms. And the whole scene changed. Because what looked like a scene of sadness and poverty and being crippled turned into church. And here they were praising God. Oh, man, what a difference Jesus makes. Amen? And by the way, I am used to people saying amen if I say something correctly. Okay? So if I say it and it's true, please help me encourage the preacher, okay? Today, if you have your Bible, please open with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 8. Chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. Now, actually, we're going to start before that a little bit in Acts chapter 7. Today, I'm going to hopefully preach to you about Philip the evangelist, or you might call him Philip the refugee evangelist, and cross-cultural ministry, all in just a few minutes. Okay, I'm going to start reading here in chapter 7, verse 54. Now, when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. Now, this is talking about the Jewish council who were becoming angry at Stephen. Stephen, the great deacon, the great evangelist. They ground their teeth at him. They were so mad. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them. And many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city. Amen. The word of the Lord. Praise be to God. Let me try to preach to you in 3 points today. The first point is the context of what's happening here. You notice, what book am I preaching from? The book of Acts. And that word, Acts, has to do with the things the disciples did after Jesus ascended into heaven. But it's not only what the disciples did, it's what the Holy Spirit did. And it's what the Holy Spirit specifically did to take the gospel from the Jews to the nations. And that's really the wonderful story of the book of Acts. Now, right there in chapter 1, and you, if you have your Bible, you can turn with me there. You can see that Jesus was saying goodbye to his disciples in chapter 1. And they were asking him, Lord, when will the kingdom come? When will you set it up? And he said, you know, that's not for you to know. But he said, but you are to stay in Jerusalem. And after a while, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And this is in verse 8. You shall be... I don't see anybody looking. Are you looking at verse 8? You should look at that. Okay. Chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall be my witnesses. Everybody say witness. In Jerusalem. And in Judea. And in Samaria. And to the uttermost parts of the earth. So that is Jesus giving to his disciples their marching orders. You're to wait. The Holy Spirit will come. And then you're going to be my witnesses. And you're going to be my witnesses. Now, they understood, okay, we're going to be witnesses in Jerusalem. Yeah, that's good. That's our capital. We've lived there. We understand that. In Judea. Yeah, that's the territory around Jerusalem. That's the nation. That's our home. That's good. And in Samaria, what? Because that's the what moment. When Jesus reveals to his disciples the witness you're going to have about me and my gospel is not just for the Jews. It's going to cross over into foreign territory. It's going to go to a people. Now, remember this about the Samaritans. If you read your Bible, you know this. The Jews wanted nothing to do with the Samaritans. They were like, the Jews thought of them as a mongrelized people. They had been Jews who had become idol worshipers, and God had brought judgment upon them from the Assyrian Empire. They had been taken away and scattered in the nations. Some of them had come back. Their religion was all messed up. They believed some of the things the Jews did. They believed some of the idolatry. But the Jews thought they were terrible. And they wouldn't have anything to do with them. So, at that moment, the disciples might have said, excuse me, Jesus, excuse me. Let's not go by this too fast. We're Jews. We're good Jews. But we believe in you. You're the Messiah. But what do the Samaritans have to do with this? And to the uttermost parts of the earth. You know who's out there? The Gentiles. And that includes most of us here. If you were not born Jewish, you are a Gentile. And according to the Jews, you and I aren't supposed to have anything to do with the God of the Bible. The fathers, the patriarchs, the law, the commandments, the prophets, they're not for us. They're for the Jewish people. Except that Jesus said, no, we're going to bring the nations in. Hallelujah. Maybe you didn't get me. You are only here because Jesus decided to open the door to the Gentiles. Otherwise, we don't get in. So that's in chapter 1. In chapter 2, exactly what Jesus said happened. The Holy Spirit came down upon the disciples. They began to speak in tongues. And they spoke in known tongues. And in chapter 2, if you read it carefully, it says there were devout men, Jews, from all over the world who were in Jerusalem at that time because of the feast. And as they heard the disciples speaking in their language, they all rushed over and said, what in the world is going on? And they heard them speaking about the glory of God. And the writer of Acts, his name is Luke, he actually lists where all of these people are from. And he lists nation after nation. And he says, all of these people heard the things of God from these disciples who were speaking in tongues they had never learned. So right there you get a hint that God is a big God. That He's interested in people all over the world. And then, in chapter 6 of the book of Acts, we first are introduced to Philip and Stephen. And this is a time when thousands of people got saved. Peter preached. Thousands of people came to Christ. Wouldn't it be awesome if next Sunday Pastor Kevin had gone downtown and preached, and 3,000 people got saved. And you came to church, and they were all here. Wouldn't that kind of blow your mind? You'd be mad because they would take your seat. That's how fast the church was growing. Thousands of people were coming to Christ. They were all coming together, usually meeting at the temple in Jerusalem. And when they came, they also brought the older ladies, the widows who had believed in Christ, and now they are Jewish widows, but they're also other widows. They're widows who didn't really speak Hebrew. Excuse me. They're women who spoke Greek. So basically, there's two groups. On this side are the widows who speak Hebrew, and over here are the widows who speak Greek. But the new Christians, just like the Jews did, they said, hey, if we have widows, we have to take care of them. This is part of our religion. This is what we do. So every day, let's provide food for all these widows who've come to Christ and are worshiping with us. So every day they'd bring in the food. And here are the Jewish-speaking widows. And every day these widows got the food. But these widows were neglected. Now, how long do you think that's going to last? Before somebody gets mad. Before somebody says, do you sense any injustice here? And so a complaint arose. And the Greek-speaking widows and their children and people who were around them and knew them, they said to the apostles, this is not right. We're all believers in Jesus. And so the apostles said, it's not good for us to stop preaching the Bible, to wait on tables. So let's choose 7 men who are full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, and let's give this ministry over to them so they can feed everybody. And what's interesting, if you read it, they chose 7 men who have Greek names. They had an ethnic problem, they had a cultural problem, and they came up with an ethnic solution. And chief among them was a guy named Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, and Philip. Those were the first 2 names mentioned there. Well, you read and heard what happened. Stephen, after this, as he helped take care of widows, he was also getting out on the street preaching the gospel. He went into the synagogue of the freedmen and preached about Jesus. And they became angry at him, and they arrested him and took him to the Jewish ruling council. And they said, what are you doing? This man that you're talking about was crucified, and he died, and you're telling people he's risen from the dead. Why are you doing this? And Stephen preached the gospel to them. And at the end of it, he told them, he said, you know, you're like your fathers. They've killed all the prophets. And now look what you've done to the Messiah. And they were so mad. They ground their teeth. And it was almost, you know how you are in kindergarten. You put your hand, you know, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. It was that kind of reaction. And they rushed down and dragged him out of the city, picked up rocks and killed him. And this was just the beginning of a terrible persecution. As soon as Stephen was killed, it was like the gates of hell were unleashed. And a man named Saul, who was a fanatic for Judaism, he said, I'm going to arrest Christians. I'm going to go into their houses. I'm going to grab them, put them in prison. We're going to punish these people who say Jesus is alive. And so this great persecution started in the city of Jerusalem. And the Christians were forced out of the city. They ran for their lives. Now, the Bible says here that the apostles did not run. They stayed. They buried Stephen with great lamentation. In other words, this was an emotional moment. Can you imagine? You're living your life. You're at peace. It's normal. But you have this new faith. And all of a sudden, the next day, what you believe is against the law. That you and your family have been condemned to be thrown into prison and all your property taken. I mean, just overnight, the world changes. And so all of these Christians were forced to leave. And one of them was Philip. And obviously, Philip had worked with Stephen. He was his friend. He's probably in emotional turmoil because of this. And he leaves Jerusalem. And where does he go? He goes to Samaria. Now, this is very interesting because he might never have gone there, except that persecution drove him there. He was a refugee out of Judea and Jerusalem, fleeing for his life. And he goes to the city of Samaria. And by the way, that was a pretty safe place because the Jews didn't want to come to Samaria. So here he is. That's the context of our story. Let's go to the second point. The circumstance. I told you the context. Now I want to tell you the circumstances of what happened. He comes to the city of Samaria. And he begins to do the very thing that got them in trouble back in Jerusalem. He begins to preach Christ. You know, for some of us, if we lost everything we had and we were sent to a foreign country and put to a different people, even a people that we didn't like and they didn't like us, I wonder how many of us in our faith would still be passionate for Christ. That we would, instead of hating what had happened to us and being mad at God that all these circumstances had happened to us, that we would say, this is an opportunity to preach Christ. And that's what he began to do. Not only did he preach Christ, but he began to do acts of mercy. Did you notice it in our text? He said that as he preached, people were delivered from demon possession. And the lame, the crippled were healed. So it was a ministry of word and deed, just like Jesus. Jesus preached, but Jesus healed people. That's always the way the gospel has really been, you know. It's never just been a ministry of word. It's always been a ministry of action and the word. And so the Bible tells us in this chapter that Philip preached Christ. He preached the good news of the kingdom of God. He told people how to come to faith in the Lord Jesus. And here is the miracle. The Samaritans listened to him. It says, with one accord, They heard what he was saying, and they believed. In the city of Samaria, so many were coming to Christ that they actually had to send word back to Jerusalem to the apostles and say, come down and help us. All of these Samaritans are getting saved. And I guess it was good news because the apostles came. And it says even about them that after they finished discipling the people in the city of Samaria, they went and preached the gospel in villages all over Samaria. Brothers and sisters, someday, if you are a Christian, you're going to be in heaven. Me too. And you're going to meet some of these Samaritans. It's really cool that, you know, we're going to actually meet the people the Bible talks about. We're going to meet Stephen and Philip. And we're going to meet the people who came to Christ because of their witness. Because they took the circumstance that otherwise would have been disaster and they turned it into an opportunity. Praise the Lord. Well, God wasn't done with Philip. God said, all right, I got another assignment for you. I want you to go down, heading south towards the Sinai Desert. I want you to go on the road to Gaza, just before it gets into the Sinai Desert. And I want you to go along that road. And so Philip is there, and God said to him, do you see that man, a black man, a man from Ethiopia, over in a chariot? Philip looks over, and right by the road is this man we know as the Ethiopian eunuch. He was the treasurer of Queen Candace, the queen of all Ethiopia. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. You know, there's always been this long-term relationship between Ethiopia and Israel. It goes all the way back to the Queen of Sheba. And people from Ethiopia were believing in Yahweh, and they were coming to faith. And here this Ethiopian eunuch, and this is a long trip through the desert, through the Sinai Desert to get to Jerusalem. But he had come all this way because he had a heart for God. And as he's in his chariot, this Ethiopian eunuch is reading. He's reading the prophet Isaiah. He's reading chapter 53. It's one of the great chapters of the Bible that describe the suffering of the Messiah. He doesn't know what's happened to Jesus. He doesn't know who this is talking about. And so Philip comes over to the chariot and he hears him reading this great text. Excuse me, my ears are coming off. From the book of Isaiah. So let's read it so you hear what he read. Down in verse 32. Well, it says in verse 30, so Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the passage of scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. And like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? And then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. And the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed throughout, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. That's how the gospel came to Africa. It came to Africa before it got to Europe. And the Coptic Church of Ethiopia still celebrates this moment as the beginning of the gospel coming to their country. You know, I don't know what Philip was thinking. He might have looked over at that chariot and he could have had all kinds of thoughts. Obviously, it's a rich man. He's in a chariot. What business do I have with him? He might have thought, he's an African. He's a black man. What business do I have with him? He might have realized he was a eunuch. And as a Jew, he might have said, you know, God wouldn't even allow eunuchs to come all the way into the temple because they were disfigured. What do I have to do with him? But he heard the word of God. And he obeyed the word of God. And he spoke the word of God. And he received a different kind of man into fellowship. He baptized him. There's a lot of lessons for us to be learned here. Let me end my sermon by giving you those lessons. What was the word of Jesus to his disciples? What were they to do? Witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And what is the example here? They were sent to witness to a people they didn't know. They were sent under circumstances in which they could have spent their life complaining and moaning about their suffering. And they were suffering. But they turned that tragedy into opportunity. They stayed faithful to Christ. Philip kept giving the word. And when he met an African, he did not hold back. He shared the gospel. And he received that man as a brother in the waters of baptism. And that, I think, is God's word to us. I believe that the gospel has always been cross-cultural. It was meant to be so. It was not meant to be captured by one nation or one language group or one tribe and made just ours. It was always meant to share. And it was always meant to invite, to receive others as our brothers and sisters in Christ. In baptism. Brothers and sisters, look, this is the fact. We're going to heaven together. Amen? Amen? And we need to be about that business of together right now. So hear the word of the Lord. You are to be my witness, says. That means you are to tell the gospel. People don't know. The Ethiopian eunuch, who's he talking about? We have it. We've got the word. You know the truth. If you don't speak it, the people will not hear it. If they don't hear it, they will not believe it. If they do not believe it, they will not be saved. That's Romans chapter 10, not Randy. All right? May God help you and I to be a faithful witness no matter what the circumstances. My third point was the challenge, which I just gave you. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for Philip, who even as a refugee was faithful to be your servant. Thank you for all the Samaritans who came to Christ. Thank you for the one Ethiopian who came to Christ, and through him millions of others over 2,000 years who have heard the gospel. Oh, Lord, please help us to be faithful. Forgive us. And forgive me, Lord, for how embarrassed and ashamed sometimes I've been to even talk about Jesus to strangers. Holy Spirit, would you please come upon us and help us to be faithful, to share Christ, that we might have many brothers and sisters join us in the kingdom of God. And we ask this for the glory of God in the name of Jesus. Amen. Pastor.
All right, people of God, let's stand and prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. So if you would join in a circle around the room, that'll lead us in this time.